The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And let's go. Yeah, it is a Victory Monday. And we'll remind everyone of that for literally about 3 seconds. And then we're going to release the hounds. Because I think both of these things are totally true. We got to remember what you just said, Dibley. They won. They won.
Yeah.
They won.
They won.
Chiefs fans aren't upset today that they looked silly for most of the day. But they won. So they had to win. And they won. Everybody hug it out, especially Debo and Tabor. They won. But why does it feel so frustrating? Like, when I ask that, what's the first thing that pops to your mind?
They should be better. That's why. They should be better. They should be better than having to get a last-minute drive to beat Tampa Bay on the road in a game where you left at least 9 points on the field, probably more. The red zone still sucks. Your kicker can't make a field goal, and yeah, you should be better. That's why. That game, if you just watched it like a boxing match, and I love this analogy because it's true, if you looked at that game as a boxing match and you wanted to put a score on it, you probably would have thought it was going to be 34, 35 to 20. They should have motorboated them. It should have been an Ottoman game. But it wasn't, because you have terrible special teams, and I can't believe your special teams coordinator is still gainfully employed. I'm not looking to get people fired, but look at every single game this year, and I can pull up all my notes. There's at least one absolute calamity per game, and it's not his fault that the kicker missed three kicks, but it might be his fault that you still don't know how to field a punt.
Can you explain one to me, since you are representative of officiating in America?
Sure.
I saw that as a very clear situation of the defender, in this case, the Bucs player, shoving the 49er blocker into the return man, which is not legal.
No, it's legal.
It's not legal.
Oh, he's allowed to block the receiving team's player.
You can block, but you cannot do a two-arm shove of that player into his teammate. I've watched this get called 5 times this year,
including
the 49er game.
Well, and I don't believe that he, in my opinion, he absolutely two-arm shoved him into Darryl.
If that's the call, I can accept it, but that's
I'll
not
look at the
legal.
Actual rule.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he picked up Darryl Luter.
No, he didn't pick him up off the ground, but he shoved him.
I believe he was engaged with the Niner player, and Cowing was just in the area, and Luter just kind of collided with him. That, to me, was not a garden variety, like, I'm going to throw you into your own guy.
Well, clearly the officials agreed.
Right.
But clearly they agreed.
Yeah. And I'll look up the actual rule. And I was going back and forth with somebody earlier on NBA officiating. There was some controversy in the Warrior game as well.
I mean, I seem to remember Darryl Luter accidentally being in the wrong spot on another punt earlier in the calendar year 2024.
Right.
And a ball landed on him. And the Chiefs got a touchdown a few plays later. And that was literally their only touchdown of regulation in a game called the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm with you. Sure. There's no defending the way the special teams have played for the San Francisco 49ers. It's been a joke.
Right. It's been terrible. And, you know, they did have some bright spots yesterday. They had a punt that they were able to down at the 4-yard line, and they had a Cowing 30-yard punt return, which set up a score. So it wasn't totally all bad, but special teams, an issue. In the red zone, we still haven't figured it out. Even though McCaffrey's back, you still get in the red zone, and for whatever reason, you can't score touchdowns, and so now we're relying on a field goal kicker who has been a little bit spotty. He was spotty yesterday, to put it fairly.
Yeah, so that, I think, is where we want to start today. There's obviously so much to go through. But anytime we're a day after a 49er game, especially one that has a lot of emotion around it, we want to hear from you. So 888-957-9570. They won. So why do you feel so frustrated? That, and I think there's a number of ways to answer it. So we'd like to take your calls on that. 888-957-9570. We also want to let you know right out of the gate, two Warriors things that will happen today. One is that Steve Kerr will join us at 5 o'clock. And the other is that we will be giving away tickets to tomorrow night's Klay Thompson return night at Chase Center in the 4 o'clock hour. And this is the game where not only will you get to go to a Warrior game and see Klay's return, which will happen one time in history, but you will get the Klay captain's hat, and you will be a part of the fans saluting Klay with that hat as he is welcomed back into the starting lineup with the Dallas Mavericks. So all of that is happening tomorrow night. Steiny and Goo and Dibs and I are going to be out on the plaza getting ready for that game. And so there will be a lot of that today, too. We'll have tickets again in the 4 o'clock hour. The word that keeps popping to my mind when I try to answer that question, because I was very frustrated in this game. I did some out-of-characteristic things yesterday.
What happened?
Well, nothing. Just like the stuff that I try not to do. I try not to scream at electronics. Like, that's just a weird, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the electronics don't, unless you have the clapper, they don't turn off when you yell at them. Nothing changes. So I try to watch the game, and sure, I'm a fan, and I get all tied up into it and stuff, but there were a few, like, lose my cool moments. Like, my daughter's looking at me, she's like, whoa. And I'm like, they have to win this game.
Yeah.
They cannot lose this game, especially with the way that it started. And so when it gets so tense, I'm frustrated, even though I keep all eyes on the fact that they won. I don't hold them to style points. But the problem is that even though they've won 5 games, I'd argue in all 9 of them, they made it harder on themselves. They underachieve. That's the word that I want to sort of explore. The 49ers, 9 consecutive times, maybe not against the Jets, but even then, they kicked 400 field goals.
Yeah.
They underachieve, and they do it to themselves. In my view, that's not disrespecting the opponent. I know that there are other players that make plays. I do think that they've been outplayed twice this year, Chiefs and Vikings. I think, seven times. They've outplayed the opponent. They've only won five of those seven games, but even within those wins, and yesterday being a wonderful example of it, it's constant penalties on the defense, lack of attention to detail, special teams constantly making massive errors, and at times, players, sometimes like Nick Bosa yesterday, like Brock Purdy against the Chiefs, players who we know are good players, highly decorated players who can do better, in big moments just suddenly don't look like themselves. And it's kind of the opposite of what you want to see when a team is dealing with injuries. The next man up mentality means that when you lose key players, well, the key ones that you still have need to be great. You need to be great. Nick Bosa needs to be great for this defense to work. And he is not right now. And some would argue he has not been since the second he signed his contract. Like, he's been very good. He had a good year last year, not a great one. And this year, same thing, good year. Looked like he really, like, woke up in the Seattle game on a Thursday night. But yesterday, he was objectively awful. He was completely stuffed in that game, and the superstar tackle that the Bucs have left halfway through the game, and former 49er Justin Skoull walked out, and guess what he did? He schooled him. He stonewalled him for the majority of the second half.
Well, late in the game, he had a sack.
He had one sack-a-rooney, yes.
And the defense ultimately gave up 13 points, if you want to take away the 7 points that they got on a short field after the muff punt. So for me, I don't come in today worrying about Nick Bosa or the defense in any real way. Bucky Irving had some runs, yeah, and he had some screen passes, and yeah, Baker had a great play on fourth down where he stiff-armed Nick Bosa, and that's unfortunate for Nick, especially as much trash as he's talked to Baker Mayfield, but you essentially gave up 13 points to Tampa on the road. I have no problem with the defense for me.
For me, it's not going to be about kind of like, and it can be for you, for me it's not about number diving. Because I can look at the 49ers and we can play the analytics game, and you're right, you will find them basically in the top 10 in the NFL, right next to all the really good teams.
Yeah.
My point is, that actually furthers my point. You are analytically good. Why are you not regular good? Because you find little ways to mess yourselves up seemingly every single week. Whether it's ridiculous missed tackles, whether it's just the most untimely penalties, whether it's constant special teams mistakes, the defense is fine-ish, but they're not when it really, really matters. I mean, that last drive, thank God it only ended up being a field goal, but that last drive was absurd.
And it's not penalties, just, yeah.
Penalty Four after penalties, penalty yeah. after penalty, and then Nick Bosa getting stiff-armed, and then Bucky Irving, who, by the way, I really like. He's a good young back, so I give him credit. But you're Nick Bosa. You're Nick Bosa. You're not to just have your arms around running backs and then have them shed you.
Well, that drive was all Rashad White. Irving wasn't even a part of that last drive where they came in and you finally held him to a field goal. That was all White, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there was a healthy mix of both of them, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, it was a lot of White, and he wound up with 10 carries in the game. And you look at the fourth down play where Mayfield fights off Bosa on fourth and seven, and he finds White for 17 yards. That was great play, tip of the cap. And yeah, Bosa should have brought him down. But at some point, I think you have to give a little bit of a nod to the offense. And for me, at the end of that whole drive, four penalties and a fourth down conversion where you should have sacked him, but you didn't, they held him to three. So for me, I'm not focused on the defense at all, because at the end of it, even though you had three straight penalties, Fred with a face mask, personal foul on Collins, which was dubious at best, and then hands to the face on Anderson, and now it's first and goal at the nine with under a minute left, and you held him out.
Yeah, I see this one very differently than you on that front. This is a Tampa Bay Bucs team that has lost its star tackle. This is a Tampa Bay team that's lost its top three wide receivers. Yes, it's a good stable of young backs, but this is not a team that's throwing elite athleticism at you at the skill positions. And again, even if you are holding them down, but they're marching down the field because you keep committing penalties on second and third down. Like, I don't know, man. That's frustrating. That's underachievement. So we can do tail of the tape, and they only gave up 13, or they only gave up 20, or whatever it may be in the end. To me, that's a football game that the Niners should have won by double digits. And yeah. I walk out of there feeling that way most of the time. The fourth quarters of games this year have been, quite frankly, they've been kind of ridiculous. I mean, go back to the last time we saw them. Do you know how bad the Dallas Cowboys are? I don't know if they're going to win another football game this year.
Pretty bad.
And in your home building with a big lead, first of all, you couldn't even get a lead at halftime. And then once you get a huge lead, that team made a run at you? Like, come on, we got to look at something on this defense because it is underachieving. We'll take your calls next. They won, but you're frustrated. We're frustrated. Why? 888-957-9570. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change and check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. We'll tell you more about the Clay Thompson situation as well. And again, tickets to tomorrow night in the 4 o'clock hour on Willard and Dibbs.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game.
Well, that was sure a great moment.
Yeah.
I don't want that to get lost in this. A guy who got shot in Union Square in August scored a touchdown in that game yesterday. Phenomenal.
And a sweet touchdown at
that. Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
Yeah. A little catch and run. The new Yak brother in the building.
Ricky looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Ricky looks good. And I'd like to do an I was wrong on something related to the 49er wide receiver core. Because I think it was you who told me before the year when we were talking about Ayuk. And I think it was based on a different sort of a set of circumstances. Because we were kind of like, well, what if Ayuk just never shows up? And you were like, Juwan Jennings. And I couldn't tell sometimes if you were doing it tongue-in-cheek or not, because Juwan is like 8 feet tall, and that's why he's like third in Juwan. And my concept was, Juwan's like really good, you know, like within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. And that's still where he does the majority of his work. But Juwan has really impressed me this year in terms of being a more traditional wide receiver than I thought he could be. And Kyle Shanahan said yesterday he played the X position, which is Brandon's position, for the first time ever, and then added, and he will be doing that for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did it really well. And so I give Juwan a ton of credit, and I was wrong on that, but it also begs a different question, which is that if Juwan can do all these things, why are you spending so many resources on the other three wide receivers in the building?
Yeah. Two guys make it a bundle of money, and another guy who you gave first-round draft capital to, and yet you have Juwan making, you know, relatively peanuts.
Whatever he's making, yeah.
Right? Maybe that will be the new way they go, but it makes me think about the whole Brandon Ayuk saga, and put aside the injury, because that is just terrible for Brandon to be out for basically 12 months with the two ligaments torn in the knee. But why'd you go through all that if you have somebody in the building who can kind of do what Brandon does.
Maybe they didn't think he could either.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. He's been forced into duty, and he looks fantastic. So that was definitely one of the bright spots. All right, before we go to the phones, and again, the question is, yeah, the Niners won. Did anybody miss that part? They won the football game, but we're frustrated. Why? What is it? What is it for each of you? For me, I just keep going back to the word underachieving. Nothing easy.
Zaza.
Nothing easy.
There it is.
But, you know, I don't understand why everything the Niners have done this year seems to be like they're limping their way to the finish line every single time. But anyway, before we go to the phones, I want to tell you about this. In honor of Klay Thompson, coming back to Chase Center tomorrow, we're giving away tickets to the game. And we'll do that today, and then a Klay Warriors jersey tomorrow. And so you need to listen at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. Now, only one of those is left, 4 p.m. So be listening at 4 p.m. And we're also putting on the Klay Carnival at Thrive City tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting there, Steiny and Goose, so no matter how, whenever you get off work, if you got tickets, come see us in the plaza tomorrow before the game against the Mavericks. So stay locked in for all the details. Find out how you can win starting at 4 o'clock today for your chance to win your way in to tomorrow's game. All right, let's go to the phones. How about Jonathan in the city, first up here on Willard and Dibs? Hi, Jonathan, what are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just, you know, making some rice. Hey, and speaking of rice, hey, Nick, maybe you should start eating some carbs, bro, because all that Wagyu beef has done you no good. Man, I've been watching the game for, like, maybe 3 decades plus. This Sunday, I've seen probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, man. Him getting stiff-armed by a quarterback for, like, 10 seconds like he was a little toddler. Man, what is that? You know, pull him down, bro. What's all that muscle on you? Is this for show? I mean, dude, eat some carb and get stronger. Because, man, a premier pass rusher like yourself shouldn't be getting embarrassed on TV by a quarterback named Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's not the size of the late Steve McNair, you know?
No, he's not. He's not.
No, or Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that was a super random comment, but thank you, Jonathan. It's true.
Enjoy the rice. Don't overcook it.
No, overcook or rice is tip. Yeah, rice has to be exactly right.
Yeah, better exactly under right. than over. I'd rather have it be a little bit tough than super mushy.
No, rice cannot be crunchy.
No.
We're not doing that.
No.
But anyway, I don't know, like... The word embarrassing has already come up a bunch today.
Right.
There's no such thing as an embarrassing win.
I don't get it.
Which part?
The fact that that was embarrassing. You went on the road and beat a team that is a playoff contending team.
Well, but specifically the Bosa play where he's got two hands on Baker.
Right.
And Baker just takes him for what looked like a 12-yard walk.
Right.
And then and by the way, don't forget the backdrop. The game's over if he tackles him.
Exactly.
It's over. So I think as a fan, that's part of the emotion here. When you see your superstar pass rusher get two hands on the quarterback on fourth down at the end of the... That's it. The game's over.
Game's over.
I stood up. Oh, the game was over. And then they're just like, no, let's go over here.
Yep.
And then, no, let's keep going. Let's go over here. And first down? I don't know, man. I know Nick was super questionable in this game. I'm going to give like a little shred of maybe, dude, you just weren't right. I don't know exactly what he is feeling in this game. But outside of his one sack, I really thought Nick Bosa got absolutely owned in this game.
I thought he had a pressure early in the game, which produced a sack for, I don't know if Sam O got it or if somebody else was credited with the sack, but he was in on that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend Nick Bosa for the entirety of the show. I'm not saying that he had a great game, but he was more impactful than that. And we all want to look at the one play where he should have gotten Baker to the ground and he didn't, and then Baker made a great play. And that happens in football, especially when you're trying to be, as a pass rusher, you're trying to figure out how to tackle a guy the right way. It's not as easy as just, you know, grab him and throw him to the ground, because that might be a penalty. So you have to try to, you know, grab him and bring him down a certain way. And in this play, he didn't, and you didn't think that Baker was going to do what he did. And then he made that throw, and it's like, oh my God.
I mean that play is Baker Mayfield in a nutshell.
Totally.
So I've come to your side of the table with regard to this. Like, Baker, he is kind of a gnat. He will do things like that. He's faster than you think he is. He's tougher than you think he is. He's got a better arm than you think he's got. Like, Baker Mayfield's a good player. I know the history. I know all the punchlines. Baker's a good player. Dot, dot, dot. Nick Bosa with two hands on a quarterback, that man needs to fall to the ground.
For sure.
He needs to fall to the ground.
And he's had a lot of that this year, and I don't know if it's where he needs to put down the Wagyu steak and, you know, eat some more carbs, but there's been a number of plays over the last few weeks where he's gotten hands on people. Maybe he needs one of those old, like, grip things where you know, work on your grip strength, right?
Which it's hard to tell because, by the way, Bucky is number 7, and Rashad is number 1.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yep.
So they look almost like, I can't tell them apart. And it's kind of funny, too, because I got Bucky on a fantasy team or two, and my son Jude has Rashad White on his fantasy team. So literally, we're like competing before the ball's even been snapped. Like, the guy, like, if you're watching a Bucks game, those guys will come out and they'll be like, it's White. And they'll be like, no, it's Bucky. And you're like, I can't tell. So I don't even know. I think it was Bucky. I don't know what drive, but Nick Bosa's got him in the backfield. And Bucky just went, whoop, get off of me, Nick. No problem. And takes off up the middle of the field. So listen, whether Nick was hurt and whether you want to give Nick a pass, this, that, or the other, there were multiple very uncharacteristic missed tackles by Nick Bosa in this football game. And he's going up against a really good tackle who then got hurt,
yep,
left, and a former 49er castoff came in and stonewalled him too.
Just at school, yeah.
Hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, but I still look at a defense that allowed only 20 points, and 7 of those came when the special teams could not catch the football on a punt.
Yeah.
So really, and that was a 21-yard drive. So for me, it really feels more like 13 points, and the offense should have scored 35 or more. They could have put up 40.
Yeah.
So that game would never have been in doubt, and the Nick Bosa performance never would have been in question if the kicker could make a kick or if the offense could actually score a touchdown in the red zone. I mean,
they did score some touchdowns. So I never
1 for 3 in the zone.
Yeah, but field goals happen. Like, I do that. We got to be careful with every time they go inside the 20, that means automatically they're supposed to score a touchdown. Like, field goals happen. They do. I'm not asking for 100%. You're not wrong. The percentage needs to be higher. But the offense did put the ball in the end zone. Two beautiful touchdown passes from Brock Purdy. Great if you can score a touchdown without having to go to the red zone. That's even better if they're long. Let's go to Shark in San Leandro. Hi, Shark. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Man, appreciate y'all taking my call. I just wanted to give y'all a little pushback on how I felt about the Niner gang.
Okay.
So, quick question. I hear y'all criticism about Bosa's game. I'm more of a basketball dude, man. Go Warriors. We've been playing crazy, by the way, right now.
Yeah. How about that road trip was something, okay? But, we'll get back to that.
So, my question for y'all is, with a player like Nick Bosa, defensive end, he did make that bonehead play at the end there that had us all shaking in our boots. But at the end of the day, the stat lines don't always seem to show how good a player is or how he's playing. I was wondering if you guys thought it was his effort, or is it just the lack of stats, the lack of tackles and sacks and things like that, because you got to keep in mind that he is Nick Bosa, so they're game planning for this guy. They send in doubles and all kind of things for him, and I don't think I ever watched a play where I felt like he just didn't try. I don't know.
Yeah, so, Shark, here's how I don't know, Dibs, how you'd answer this. Thank you for the call. I would answer that it's neither. I'm not questioning Nick's effort at all, and I'm also not hanging my hat only on, as he likes to call them, sackaroonies. I'm not doing that either. I would much more like to look at pressures, and he statistically only had three of them in the game. And then I also use my eye test, which is, again, not questioning his effort, it's questioning his production. He got stopped a lot by a backup tackle who used to play for the 49ers. Nick might have been hurt. He was questionable until the last second yesterday, so maybe he's not playing at his best. But I also dismiss the idea that they're game planning for him, they're double teaming him. Right, that's what happens to elite players. And I don't watch any of the other elite pass rushers that we talk about just get stonewalled for the majority of a game because the other team is aware that they're good. I've watched a lot of Steelers games this year. You should see what TJ Watt gets, and you should see what he's able to do with it. And Nick has done it in a lot of games this year. Yesterday was not one of them.
Yeah, and I think the overall defense from a pressure standpoint was not great yesterday either. And so, you know, TJ Watt maybe gets a little bit more help from his teammates. I don't watch every snap of the Steelers like I do watch of the Niners. And I look at a Niner pass rush and you don't get a lot of help from other people. And as a team, from a pressure standpoint, they didn't have a lot. And I'm looking at QB hits. There were two hits on the quarterback, Nick Bosa and Malik Collins, and that's it. And you had two sacks. So you had two sacks and two QB hits, and that tells me that pressure-wise, you were mostly non-existent. And they don't ever blitz very often, and so you rush four, and they block you with five. And when you block with five and you rush with four, Bosa's probably going to get either chipped or doubled or both, and so it is harder on him.
I look at the way the Bucs played offensively, not just in this one, but basically since Mike Evans and Chris Godwin went out, and poor Baker's got Kate Otten, and that's really it. It's really it. And that factors into the way that I'm looking at this particular defensive effort. You can say 13 or 20 points, that's all. That's really all that should happen. He just does not have a lot at his disposal. Again, the backs are really good, and they receive the ball out of the backfield. But the Tampa Bay is completely incapable of a chunk play right now. They're totally incapable of getting 25 to 30 yards down the field. So if you take that off of the table, to me, you watch a team that can only, the only way they can score is to go pick, 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 all the way down the field. Just like they did against Kansas City to tie that game and go to overtime 7 days ago on Monday night. They are capable of that, but that's it. So to me, it's not even a team that's capable of 25 to 30 points in a football game. They take too much time to do what they're doing. And so I would expect when you're on 14 days rest and they're on six and they lose their superstar tackle in the middle of the game, yeah, my bar for your defense is very high. It's very high. And the 49ers did not hit it.
Yeah, for me, they did hit it because they allowed only 116 yards passing. To your point, they had no real receivers, and I'm looking at the numbers, and numbers are numbers unless they're your numbers.
That's right.
But
I don't know if these are my numbers because I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, what I'm going to say is that 9 of the 18 completions were to Irving and Rashad White.
Sure.
So of the other 9, you had 5 to Cade Otton, which means you had 4 passes caught by wide receivers.
Uh-huh.
Shepard had 1, Miller had 1, Jarrett had 2. So defensively, that wasn't the problem. In the ground game, Irving had 73 yards, White had 31. They didn't do much on the ground either. So the defense, they only allowed like 215 yards total, and you gave up the 20 points in part because your special teams gave them a short field.
No, listen, I'm less offended by the defense than I am by the special teams, but those kinds of numbers that you're talking about leave out all of the penalties, for instance, that they committed in key moments, especially on that last drive. So
there was 4 penalties on that drive.
That doesn't show up in the box score, and that is absolutely part of my assessment of the way they played yesterday. Dale in Walnut Creek is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Dale. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
Could not be better, Dale.
Okay, good. Listen, I think I'm calling in to the same show that I was listening to 10 minutes ago. And 10 minutes ago, you guys were complaining about the defense and saying, like, you know, the defense this year, they've allowed people back in games. And
yes.
What's going on? And why is that? And I think the answer to the question, if you just get down on your knees or, you know, bend way over us, you'll find the answer. You'll find the answer.
Dale, I'm not sure where we're going. Where are we going here, Dale?
The defense got, the answer to your question got thrown under the bus last year by Kyle Shanahan. Sorensen is now the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Wilkes is not, and that's not all of it, but I believe that's a large part of it. And the second thing, what you guys have been talking about just for the last few minutes, I think you might agree with me. Nick Bosa has not performed up to what we expected him to all season long. He's given the effort, but he doesn't have any moves. He's kind of like a bull rusher. So I know that they're double-teaming him and stuff, but they're double-teaming T.J. Watt. They're double-teaming all the other, you know, great guys, and they're performing better. I think we got to be honest and say Nick's not doing it. But that's the only small part of it. Bigger part of it, I think, is the answer lies under the bus.
So you think that this defense would be performing at a much higher level if Steve Wilkes were still the coordinator?
I look at the progression, the progress that the defense made last year,
okay,
from the time that he started, and then they criticized the hell out of them. And by the end of the season, they were doing well. They gave up 20 points to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
You must have missed that. You must have missed the Lions game. But Dale, thank you very much. The Steve Wilkes thing is forever going to be difficult for me because when people talk about it, they go, oh, he was a scapegoat. He was thrown under the bus. He was blamed for everything. And I always go, God, like, that's not my perception of what happened. I'm not blaming Steve Wilkes or Kyle Shanahan or whatever. It's a team that went to the Super Bowl and was one play away from being champions. I don't think anybody needs to be blamed for anything. I felt all year long that something in that building, those guys felt like wasn't fitting. It wasn't jiving with one another. And so they made a move. And I know people, because of the timing of it and because of the finish of the season, people blame, they go, oh, Kyle Shanahan scapegoating Steve Wilkes. You don't have to fire people because you lost the Super Bowl. You went to the Super Bowl. That's usually when people get extensions.
Yeah, yeah.
So there didn't need to be a scapegoat. I think all year, starting in Minnesota, they felt like things weren't fitting. And it's not fair to compare this year's group to last year's group because last year's group had Dre Greenlaw on the team. This year's group doesn't.
Well, this year's group has a bunch of great rookies who are playing better than some of the guys that they had last year. And Devondre Campbell, again, second week in a row,
he was really good.
And he's getting better. And I do think that it takes time for any new coordinator with any team. And I know that Nick Sorensen was there last year, but he's now a coordinator for the first time in his career. It takes time to grow into it and for the defense to get comfortable with him as the coordinator. And I did not think that yesterday the defense was the issue. And I know that Tampa Bay's offense is not anything to write home to mom about. But for me, the reason why the game was close yesterday was not the defense. It was the offense, and it was the special teams.
Oh, I don't think it was the offense either. It was the special teams. I mean, if you want to say the issue, special teams, that's the issue. They dropped the ball on the punt. They missed all of their field goals, or most of them. I mean, like, that's... if you just fix that alone, you win that game by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the defense is the issue. I'm just telling you that what I see, and this is true for offense and defense alike, what I see is a group that's not reaching their potential. They're not as good as they should be. And they shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly at the wrong time.
Yeah, that was unfortunate yesterday on that drive. And then you do have to point out, or you don't have to, but I will, that they did hold Tampa to a field goal after they committed four penalties on one drive. It came down to game time. If Tampa scores a touchdown there, you're in trouble. You need a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, you're going
to
lose.
And you held them out. You held them to three. So that, for me, is a part of that. And I looked at it again this morning as I was watching it back, and you had defensive holding, face mask, personal foul, hands to the face. Four of six plays were penalties.
And all of that came after your superstar pass rusher had two hands on the quarterback for 4 seconds in a game-ending play.
Maybe not quite that long, but and he got held off.
It was at least three.
Yeah.
And they converted. So none of those penalties happen if you're, and I'm sorry to do this, but your $34 million guy,
you can do it,
brings a human being who's half of his size to the ground when he's got both hands on him for a three count. None of those things even happen because the game's over. They don't get a field goal.
First and goal at the nine.
Niners win 20-17.
First and goal at the nine, and you held them out.
Yeah.
And so,
but that didn't happen if you just tackle the guy back at the 40-yard line.
Well, none of it matters if your field goal kicker can make a kick.
Also true.
Or if your red zone offense can actually score. Or if your quarterback can find somebody who's open on the opening drive of the game where Ricky Pearsall's wide open and Brock Purdy is coming out cold again.
I mean,
talk about that.
You're not going to put yesterday on Brock Purdy, who threw for almost 400 yards.
No, but when we're talking about things that didn't go right,
he wasn't
Brock
great
Purdy
in the first half
was shaky.
Agreed. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Steve Kerr, 2 hours away. Warriors tickets, 1 hour away. We keep going with your calls next, 888-957-9570. They won, but you're frustrated. Why? Your calls continue on Willard and Dibs.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.